Let's Talk Sales. This is the podcast for anyone who's interested in growing sales. As always, Let's Talk Sales is brought to you by Calabia, the sales playbook platform made for your team by your team. The Calabia sales playbook houses your company's best practices, templates, and processes. It also functions as an online sales training academy for both your existing team and new hires. Learn more at calabia.com. In December, we at CFS have been writing and talking about customer service and how it impacts sales. We've really enjoyed this thought discussion and hope that you have as well. You can check it out on the blog. There are a lot of great strategies and actionable ideas. In this CFS Talks Sales Roundtable, we'll be discussing improving customer service to grow sales. This is Elizabeth Frederick. I'm the Operations Officer and Senior Advisor. With me today, I have our Director of Marketing, Rebecca Smith. You hear from her just about every week on the podcast. We have our Marketing and Sales Coordinator, Arianna Mescal. She actually wrote an ebook this month about customer service. Make sure you check that out. And our CEO, Charles Bernard. You can find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod8. This episode of the podcast will launch on December 25th. So for those of you who celebrate it, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. For everyone, happy holidays. Just as a note, there's a little bit of a bug going around the Criteria for Success offices this week. So if people's voices sound a little strange or if you hear some coughing and sputtering, please forgive us. It is that time of year. So let's get going. Let's start talking customer service. I wanted to just kind of start with a simple topic. When we think about customer service, how do you think it really impacts sales?
Well, I'll throw my two cents in. I think customer service impacts sales when they make sure, meaning anyone in customer service, makes sure that what was promised by the salesperson was actually delivered. And that might be simply checking in. It might be asking for feedback. But I think it creates a conversation around alignment internally to make sure that when a salesperson is representing what is being delivered, customer service is kind of like where the rubber meets the road.
Definitely. And this is Rebecca speaking here. And I agree with you, Charles. And I think that customer service is everything when it comes to our business, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, our customers are the reason that we're able to pay our bills and keep the lights on and really to enjoy our life, which is beyond just the normal paying our bills part. But especially when we're prospecting, it's easy to forget this kind of thing. When someone's being rude to us or kind of is upset, it's easy to put those things aside. So I think that when it comes to this, it's all about perspective and remembering what's important when it comes to our customers. So sometimes we have to take a step back and when we're in a tough situation to really think about how to treat the other person.
I kind of want to piggyback off of what you're saying, Rebecca. This is Arianna speaking. In a way, customer service, as a sales rep, you kind of are setting the bar for what the culture is going to be when you are in a buying or selling process. So, you know, as you got to get your sales reps on board with customer service, and then your buyers will be in the same boat as well.
Yeah, I think that what you just said, Arianna, really ties to what Charles said as well, because when you think about missed expectations, that can happen because a mistake might have been made at the beginning of the process from the sales side or at the end of the process from a delivery or customer service side. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at the process as a whole and you think of making sure that sales are really attentive to customer service and everybody throughout the entire process all the way to the end is really focused on the customer experience, as you were talking about, Rebecca, that's really important.
I just want to throw one more thought in there based on what you just said, which I really like, and that is that, you know, I don't think it's just a good idea for customer service to check in and find out if something that was sold was delivered or not, but even be empowered to fix it in some way, you know, like fill in some of those expectation gaps that you said.
Yeah, definitely. Not always viewing roles as really small. When I thought about how customer service impacts sales, I kind of went a little bit negative. I think we've probably all heard that negative experiences are more impactful than positive experiences. It's been proven through research that when you look at online reviews of a product, people tend to discount the positive reviews a little bit, and they tend to weight the negative reviews a little more importantly. Mm-hmm. So that if you had an equal number of positive and negative reviews, people would have a slightly more negative perspective of that product or service. There's an interesting journal article in the Review of General Psychology called Bad is Stronger Than Good. Mm. And it talks about the way literally our brains process information and we remember negative experiences more strongly than we remember positive experiences. If you think of, I don't want to go a little too crazy here, but if you think of over time as people developed, it was really important to remember the negative things. You know, you remember what food not to eat because it's dangerous. You remember what place not to go because, I don't know, a monster will kill you, whatever it might be. And it's hardwired into us that we know what's negative and we avoid it. And so when you think of customer service in your brand, customer service impacts sales because what people say about you is your reputation. It's your presence. It's who you are in the market. And you have to really be attentive to customer service because you want to make sure that there's enough positive out there to make up for any negative that might be out there.
Definitely. That's a great point, Elizabeth. And you got me thinking about Amazon reviews.
Absolutely.
How many times have you picked a product that had really great reviews, but then you looked at those couple of people that had one or two negatives and said, maybe I won't get this item after all. Mm-hmm. So it really does impact the way that we think when something or someone goes negative.
Yeah.
Online reviews, you know, even extend to Glassdoor these days, mm-hmm. with looking for jobs. Your customer service to even your employees makes a difference. And it's all about word of mouth and what people say. So you got to set the bar for the rest of your team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just retail. It's not just buying things online. But the review economy is a really big part of how we live now. If you think about it, when you want to take a Lyft or an Uber, you can see the reviews of your driver. When you want to go to a restaurant, you might look at Yelp. We have this expectation basically now that when we are looking at making a purchase, we think that we should be able to find reviews. And that's happening in all kinds of levels of business. And so you have to be prepared for that and thinking about it.
And I'm not even sure. I think it carries over to other stuff besides online reviews, though, because we've been giving those examples. Like, I'm thinking in person, negative impressions.
Yeah.
Like, when you're hiring someone, we've been doing a lot of interviewing lately. And I can tell you honestly that I can immediately spot a candidate who walks in within about 10 seconds. It's just, if I have a negative impression, it's going to probably make a deeper impression on me and something I have to overcome than if I have a more positive impression. Meaning if it's positive, I'm going to take my time to explore what do I like about this person. But a negative is like visceral. It's immediate. It's mm-hmm. like something I really have to almost react automatically to it.
Yep, it hits us hard. Okay, that was a great discussion. I want to get a little more granular. We've been talking kind of big picture about how customer service impacts sales, but I want us all to think about what might be a single important factor when it comes to customer service affecting sales. So if I can kind of get us started, to me, if you were to look at one factor to improve your customer service to grow sales, it's feedback. And establishing a process for getting feedback, establishing a relationship with your prospective client, with your existing clients, that you're open to feedback, that you want feedback. We call it being a feedback organization or having a feedback relationship. But you want to make sure that you also have an expectation that you set. Have times that you ask specifically for feedback. Create avenues and channels for people to give that to you. And the best way to improve overall customer service is to be constantly getting feedback from your existing clients so that you know what to do to improve with your future clients.
That's a great suggestion, Elizabeth. I love that. And I would say I'd like to jump in on this and say, for me, the most important customer service factor that affects sales is how a salesperson responds and interacts. That's going to affect the sale from the beginning to the end, of course, and, you know, further down the road, especially when things go wrong. I'd kind of like to highlight this area. You know, most of us have a tendency to pass the buck when something goes wrong. Let's say that we made a sale and the next person down the chain makes a mistake. It's easy for us to say, you handled this problem, you created this problem, but as the salesperson, it's important for us to remember that we built that relationship and they built trust with us. Mm. So for us to go in and clean it up, it's going to help. And the way that we respond in those situations, I personally think that that's going to impact the future for not only for that client, but for future clients as well.
Yeah, so kind of taking ownership, taking initiative, being willing to really step up. I really like how you said it's the salesperson who owns that relationship, because on an ongoing basis, the salesperson is going to want to continue that relationship. They're going to want to be able to ask for referrals and references and testimonials. So really thinking about that big picture relationship can put it in perspective that it's worth taking a little bit of extra time to at least, you know, work with your customer service team to resolve the issue.
Definitely. And going off of what both of you guys said, the key here is consistency. And mm-hmm. that's actually what I think is the most important customer service factor for sales. You know, if you are consistent in pretty much anything that you're doing in the sales process, no matter how small it is, it could be answering an email in the same day, setting goals for yourself like that. If anything goes wrong, your customer will expect consistency, and they will expect that you will perform at the same level of customer service. And that kind of mellows out any drastic situation that could happen in the first place. So Absolutely. If something does go wrong, they wouldn't expect you to pass the buck. They would expect you to be consistent and to help them solve whatever problem that they do have.
So. Yeah, that's great.
I think the most important customer service factor that affects sales is creating customer loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And loyal customers and loyal clients will become repeat purchasers. And, you know, we at CFS have this expression or this tool that we advise people on, which is different levels of relationships. And I think customer service can really impact those levels of relationships. And what I mean, for example, is converting clients into advocates and advocates into partners. And I think that customer service can be a real influencer in how that works.
Definitely.
I'd like to just jump in here to note to our audience that we actually recently did a webinar on this, right, Charles?
We did.
You remember
you
that?
And I. It was great.
So we will add that to the show notes for those of you that are interested in developing and growing client relationships.
Yeah, I think Charles also wrote an ebook about it.
He did. Making client relationships
plug.
Work.
Yeah, always do my best to plug things. So when we talk at CFS, you probably hear us all the time talk about stories. We think that stories are just a really great way of connecting to concepts, of communicating. They're helpful in both sales as well as all kinds of other situations. And so I thought it could be helpful to have each of us maybe share a story of where we've seen customer service impact sales, whether maybe customer service helped grow sales or helped shrink sales. So does anybody have a story you want to share?
I'll go first. So my story is more from my experience as a buyer, and something that usually we're not loyal to, which is shopping online. You know, we can barely get to the checkout and purchase our items. Everyone likes to abandon their carts. But I actually ordered from a website called ShopSpring. I'll give them the credit because they have great customer service. And they sent me, after my first order, I don't even remember what I got, but I remember they sent me a handwritten thank you card saying, thank you for discovering us. Thank you for using our service. We hope you enjoy it, and we hope that you shop with us again. And I actually did, because that really impacted me. And I just thought that it was a nice step that they didn't have to take, but it made me feel like I wasn't just a, you know, another random person on the computer buying from a company. So.
Yeah, that as soon as you said that, I thought of an experience I've had as well. I'm a knitter, and so I buy a lot of yarn. Sometimes I buy it online, and I bought from an Etsy vendor for the first time. And when the yarn came, it was in a special box. Instead of just standard tissue paper, there was purple tissue paper, which is actually, it's my favorite color. I'm sure that it's just their standard, but that was special. There was a little note in there from the person who had dyed the yarn, and it actually made me more likely and more want to buy their yarn in the future, because I had just such a pleasant experience just opening it. It made it more special and more interesting than if it just kind of came shoved in a box with, like, you know, crumpled paper.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think there's so many great companies out there that we can speak to. And this all reminded me of BarkBox. I'll give them the credit, because their marketing people over there are geniuses, first of all.
We need to get some sponsors for the show.
For sure. But I had an experience where I signed up. I actually just wanted to get one because I thought it would be funny to get my dog a BarkBox. And she is a 4-pound chihuahua. So you can imagine things are pretty big in her world. I got
for
this.
For us that don't know, what is a BarkBox exactly?
BarkBox is a subscription for dogs, where you get a treat, toys, and a chew in a box for your dog. And it is hilarious because you get this box, you open it up, and the dog gets all excited and she goes crazy. But my Rosie, I got her this box and the toys were huge because, like I said, she's 4 pounds. So I called customer service and my intention was actually just to cancel. And the woman on the other line was so helpful. And not only did she send me more toys that were appropriate for her size, but she also gave an upsell suggestion and sold me even more and said, you know, we can do a custom box for this little dog and put your suggestions in there. And it was just a really cool experience. And she kept it really personal and asked specific questions about my dog because she assumed, you know, you obviously ordered this $30 box for your dog. You must care about your dog. Tell me about her. So it was an example of a really cool, positive customer service experience.
Definitely. Who else has a story about how customer service has grown or shrunk sales?
So I'll bring it in-house. You know, as I'm thinking about this story, I just want to point out that sometimes customer service can be accidental. Like, you can provide great service that will grow sales and not even be aware of it if you're focused on adding value. And I have to turn to my director of marketing, Rebecca, who's on this podcast. Rebecca and I were delivering a webinar to an existing client. And Rebecca got involved because she has a talent for social media. Most of you who have been following this podcast series have come to that conclusion, I'm sure. But she actually got involved in this webinar because I asked her to, because she's more of a subject matter expert than I am. And at the end of the webinar, I get this text. The webinar's not even over. And I get the text from the CEO who was on the webinar. And he said verbatim, where have you been hiding, Rebecca, this entire time? fast forward, he asked Rebecca and me, mostly Rebecca, to put together a quote, to put together an actual proposal to engage in a social media initiative, which... we actually are in the midst of putting together, and that was directly related to something I'm going to call out as customer service. I really think Rebecca was focused on just delivering a great webinar, but it translated into something that potentially will turn into a sale.
Yeah, I think just focusing on delivering a great experience in every interaction that a client has with you, whether it's just the thing that they've already purchased, not thinking I'm coming in here intending to upsell, but I'm coming in here to make this a great experience, to give you the best value I can. And people perceive that. People perceive your intentions. Yeah. And that can make them more willing and more likely to want to engage you for more work.
Definitely. I think along those lines too, guys, that every interaction is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to customer service, it's such an opportunity to really show the person that's on the other side of the table or on the other side of the country on a webinar, on the world, you know, what you're made of, essentially, and what matters to you, and letting them know that you care about them and you have their best interest at heart and that you're there to help them. These are moments of opportunity for us, I think.
Definitely. I have a story that's a little bit of a negative story, but it kind of describes a little bit of what we're talking about. I'm always the one who goes negative. Famous for that, I guess. So when I think of a story where I saw customer service impact sales, I manage a lot of our vendor relationships. And we had been working with a web host for quite a number of years. And they were providing, I would say, probably adequate service. We got to a point where, from a technological perspective, they just couldn't support the traffic that we were generating, which was a good problem, I suppose, to have. And they had limitations in terms of their ability to respond to our needs. So we moved to a new host. And the customer service experience at this new host was really not what we were looking for. They didn't have phone support. They weren't available. They didn't respond quickly to emails. It became really difficult. You know, coming in and finding your website down is not an experience anybody wants to have happen. No. And through unfortunately, negative experiences with customer service, we realized that they just could not be a vendor that we could depend on. And so we had to search to find a vendor. We actually did the process we were talking about earlier and looked at reviews. And we found a host that has excellent customer service. They answer the phone right away. They respond to emails immediately. They'll help you kind of above and beyond their job description. You know, they've provided us with customer service on general WordPress tips, not even just on specific hosting. And the experience is really night and day. And when we were looking at hosting new sites, we just immediately thought we're going to roll that into our existing plan because we're getting such excellent service.
Yeah, that was a really cool thing when that happened too, that the kind of, well, not the negative parts of that story, but
we all remember
but when
that.
We switched to a vendor that cared about us, yeah. It was such a different feeling. There's nothing worse than having a problem and having someone not respond to you for days, especially since, you know, everything that we're doing is online right now. Pretty important.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes you don't even realize that you're tolerating mediocre service until something negative, like you said, happens. It's mm-hmm. really abrupt and important. And then when you get the positive service, the good service, you realize just how good it really is.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we also, I'll be a little bit against my negative reputation here. Sometimes you might be just experiencing a general, maybe adequate level of service, and a problem crops up, and you might see a different side of your vendor where you realize that they are willing to go above and beyond. And that
like
really
test.
Changes the way you perceive your relationship with them. So you might see that customer service and maybe decide you want to deepen your relationship. Great stories, guys. This was fun. Finally, we are always looking to provide actionable advice to our listeners. So what actionable advice does anybody have to share that our listeners can apply to improve customer service and grow sales?
I'll respond first. I pulled this tip from my blog post on December 5th. Which is about customer service tips for managers and kind of how they can coach their teams when it comes to customer service. And the tip I pulled out was that customer service begins at the very first interaction. Mm-hmm. So your salespeople, if you're a sales manager and you're interacting with people, just like Charles talked about earlier, first impressions are everything. So be sure that the first impression that your potential customer and future customer has of you is a good one.
Yeah. I think that also really speaks to just making sure that everybody at your organization knows what you want your message to be when it comes to customer service.
Okay, so, you know, I just thought of something. I was in a presentation in my CEO group once, and we have speakers coming in on one of them. The name of the group's Vistage, in case anyone wants to know. And one speaker, I think his name is Jack Daly, and he gets around, so I'm sure a lot of people on this podcast recognize the name, but to the point about making first impressions, he talks about the receptionist in mm-hmm. your firm, right? And when you walk in, if that person greets you in a nonchalant, negative way, that's going to create a negative first impression. So he actually says it's a good idea to retitle that person and not call them a receptionist, but call them director of first impressions.
That's great. That really is.
It is true.
It absolutely is. Who else has actionable advice to share for our listeners?
I'll start by saying start today. You know, it's easy to push these off and say, oh yeah, I think I provide decent customer service. But at the end of the day, you don't really know unless you talk to your team members and you talk to see what they do for great customer service, what they've tried and what's worked and what hasn't worked. And you can give your insight as well. And I just think that collaborating is probably one of the best ways to think of new ways to provide customer service for your clients or prospects in that case.
And my actionable advice is more of a philosophy that you can translate into action, but I'll leave that up to everybody. But if they follow the same philosophy, it'll probably motivate some good action. And that is that everyone's involved in customer service. You know, we have clients and we know there are companies out there that have customer service teams that are dedicated to that function. But I really think everyone should think of themselves as part of customer service and own that 100%. So if you've got like everybody in the company owning 100% customer service at any moment in time, then you're pretty much covered.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. From me, my advice would be to develop or if you have one already, review your communication plan. A lot of times we think about communication as something that's really situational, but it's helpful to have policies and plans in place for communication. How often are you going to reach out to existing customers? Who is going to reach out? Are they going to hear from a manager once a month or once a quarter? Are you expecting your sales reps to follow up with existing clients after 30 days or once a month? Whatever the plan is for communication, it's really helpful to actually document that. Build that into performance expectations. Potentially, in some situation, put it in your playbook, but you might even build reports into your CRM system to track how often certain types of communication are happening. You could have a report that shows up to say, here are all the customers who haven't been contacted in 30 days or more. And that can be a list that filters for salespeople to see so they know it might be a good idea to reach out. If you have an inside sales or a customer service team that does outbound calling, that's also a great driver of who they should be calling.
Definitely. I love that.
Yeah, I love how we all have very different perspectives when it comes to advice. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for listening to Let's Talk Sales. As I said before, you can find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod8. Tune in next week when we'll be talking to Bill Ekstrom of Excel Institute. Beginning in January, we'll be writing about change on the CFS blog. There are a lot of changes going on in the world around us, and we thought that would be a good topic to start the year. Make sure you check that out at criteriaforsuccess.com/blog. Speaking of change, there's going to be a change coming to the podcast in January. I just want to give a little teaser today, sure you stay tuned because you're going to see some changes coming to the podcast in January. If you're liking the show, please tell a friend and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. Ratings and reviews will help more people find the show and let us know what's working and where we can improve. As we said before, we're a feedback organization. Let's Talk Sales is a production of Criteria for Success and is produced by Rebecca Smith, Ariana Scal, and me, Elizabeth Frederick. Happy holidays!